Morning, everybody. Welcome to Senate Finance. It's 5 minutes after 9 a.m., February 27, 2009. We've got a fairly light schedule today. Of course, small bills sometimes are potent. With me is Senator Ellis, Senator Olson,
Chairman.
Senator Elton, Senator Huggins, and Senator Thomas, and myself, Senator Stedman, and Senator Hoffman. My co-chair is at other meetings today. We have three bills on the agenda. We have Senate Bill 24, Lewis Miller Bridge naming, Senate Bill 25, Richard Dewey Duval Ferry Terminal naming, and then Senate Bill 57, Charter School Funding. And we're going to hear all three bills, take public testimony, and then we're going to set them aside for a future date. We will start with Senate Bill 24, the Lewis Miller Bridge. And again, the intent here is to present the bill, take public testimony. This is the first time we've heard this bill, and then set it aside. And with us today is Mr. Weston Eiler from the staff of Senator Stedman. If he can come forward, and I'd like to welcome Mr. Eiler to the Senate Finance Committee. I think this is the first time you presented a bill to the Senate Finance Committee?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
And the, I'll let you go ahead and walk through the bill, and then we'll have some questions, possibly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Weston Eiler, staff to Senator Bert Stedman. Thank you for hearing this bill. Senate Bill 24 would honor Mr. Lewis Miller, an Alaskan pioneer who contributed a great deal to the community of Petersburg, Alaska. Under Alaska Statute 3540.015, the state may name public works through an act of the legislature. This authority has been exercised over 40 times since the authority was added to statute. Notable examples include the Terry Miller Legislative Office Building and the Robert B. Atwood Building in Anchorage. Senate Bill 24 would name a bridge in Petersburg over Hammer Slough after Mr. Lewis Miller. Mr. Miller came to Alaska during the Klondike Gold Rush and arrived in Petersburg, Alaska in 1901. He worked as a carpenter for town founder Peter Bushman, constructing some of the first homes on Hammer Slough and overseeing construction of the community's Sons of Norway Hall. Mr. Miller operated a moorage and warehouse on the side of the present-day bridge, and this bill would recognize his memory and contribution to the community by naming that bridge in his honor. The bill is supported by the City of Petersburg, which has a resolution in your bill packet. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have any initial questions? We have a fiscal note of $4,000. That's just want to make sure everyone understands that's not in millions. Normally we deal in millions, but we do count all the fiscal notes up. So. Seeing no initial questions from Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Eiler, is there anybody opposed to this bill?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, not to our knowledge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is this came as a request from the Petersburg City Council? With Senator Huggins.
Yes, so I guess, Mr. Chairman, it's already been vetted locally, and this, there's not a big controversy or anything about name A or B.
Not that I know of, other than the local politics and the city council that took care of all that. Senator Thomas.
Just one question. I was reading when I should have been listening. You mentioned the Atwood Building in Anchorage. What was the relationship there between?
Oh, through the chair, Senator Thomas, the legislature used its authority under the statute to name that building in the same way that it applied a name to the Terry Miller Legislative Office Building.
Okay, I thought he had something to do with the construction of it at one time or something. Thank you, though.
Mm-hmm. Seeing no other questions, we'll go to the Petersburg LIO and hear from the mayor of Petersburg, Mr. Al Dwyer. Mayor Dwyer.
Yes, yes, Mr. Chairman.
If you can identify
yourself. I just want to confirm that the city council, on a very rare occasion, unanimously endorsed this recommendation and passed the resolution. The present bridge is where he originally had his warehouse back in the old days, 07, 06. He had a warehouse there, and he had a floating boat repair shop, a moorage float, and a blacksmith shop, just to add to the information that the committee already has. Next to his home, he had a smokehouse and chicken pens and other structures. His family was the second family to reside south of the slough, and he lived here continuously from 1907 until the time of his death. The city council is, as I said, is hoping that this thing will pass. Thank you.
And can you identify yourself, Mayor Dwyer, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you did that for me. Mayor Al Dwyer, City of Petersburg.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? We've got just a quick note. There's all kinds of interrelationship on these islands, as you're probably well aware. My dad had worked for Mr. Miller for several years in the wintertime when I was growing up. He ran the dock when the old Liberty ships came in before tug and barge days. Duke Miller, and then Kent Miller, his grandson, does economics work in the Ketchikan, Prince of Wales area. So the family's still involved. Also, the Sons of Norway Hall, which is kind of one of the standout buildings in the community. Apparently, Mr. Miller must have done something right in his carpentry days, because that building still stands, and it's held out as one of the showcases in the community. And my family also came from that same side of the river, south of the river. Do we have any other Crick? Do we have any other questions before we sign? Okay. Do we have any comments from? I see there's a DOT person here. Is there anybody want to make any comments? Okay. Well, we'll set this bill aside for a later date. We'll move on then to our next bill. Dealing with the same community, other end of the far end of the town. Senate Bill 25, the Richard Dewey Duval Ferry Terminal, is our second bill up. Again, we're going to hear this bill, take some public testimony, and set the bill aside. And with us to present this bill, again, is Mr. Eiler. If you can identify yourself again for the record, please, and who you represent, and then walk us through this particular bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Again, Weston Eiler, staff to Senator Bert Stedman for the record. Senate Bill 25 would honor Richard Dewey Duval, a proponent of marine transportation and a longtime active resident of Petersburg, Alaska. It would honor him by naming the South Mitkoff Island Ferry Terminal in his honor. Mr. Duval was an engineer by trade and a longtime resident of Petersburg who promoted improved transportation in Southeast Alaska through his service to the community and also to Alaska's Inter-Island Ferry Authority, or IFA. Mr. Duval served on the Petersburg City Council and was a founding board member of IFA. During his 10 years of service on the IFA board, he helped the authority organize and was instrumental in the construction of the South Mitkoff Island Terminal. After the terminal's construction, he even served as the IFA's ticket agent at the terminal. This bill would recognize his contribution and dedication to the community and to IFA by naming that terminal in his honor. The bill is supported by the City of Petersburg, which has a resolution of support in your bill packet, and the Inner Island Ferry Authority has also voiced its support for the measure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Do we have any initial questions? Mr. Duval passed away here a little bit ago, a year or so ago. We'll go to the Petersburg LIO, and Mayor Dwyer, if you can identify yourself again for the record, and then speak to the council action on naming the request for naming the ferry terminal, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Al Dwyer, Mayor of the City of Petersburg, and I'm just here to confirm the council's wishes that we name the ferry terminal after Richard Dewey Duval.
Okay. Thank you. We have any questions? And we do have a fiscal note. That's $1,200 Again, not 1.2 million. Normally, we work in millions. 1,200, and we'll, I'm sure we'll have a discussion with DOT to make sure that those numbers are correct. With that, we'll go ahead. If there's no questions, do you have just a second? Do you have if you want to come forward, please? We have a DOT representative here. If you can identify yourself for the record and who you represent, and then speak to the bill, please.
For the record, my name is Mary Sirocki. I'm Special Assistant to the Commissioner at the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Senator, I just wanted to let you know this will be a sign that we're going to put up somewhere around the temporary facilities, but when a new facility does get built, we will have a nice sign on that building.
Okay, so the funding of $1,200 is for the temporary, or that would include the permanent?
That will be for a temporary sign. The permanent sign would be a part of the cost of the building if and when that gets built.
Okay, and then we're going to be setting this bill aside, so maybe you can get back to my office on kind of an idea of what the permanent sign would include, also as what you've experienced in the past, just so we, you know, we have the total cost in front of us. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question on, since this is historical, could you just give us a difference in what the requirements are for historical versus regular DOT signs?
Senator, I don't know, but I will find that out for you and we'll get back to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, well, any other questions? We'll go ahead and then set this bill aside for a later date. We'll go on to our third and final bill today. This bill is Senate Bill 57, Charter School Funding. It will be presented by our colleague, Senator Thomas, and if he could head to the end of the table, and I'll have Senator Thomas go ahead and present this bill. We're going to hear the bill, take public testimony, and then set this bill aside. There has been some interest on a potential amendment by one of the members, so we'll work on that between now and when we have further action on the bill. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have with me Catherine Reardon as well to answer some questions, should we have more than I'm capable of answering. Charter school funding, Senate Bill 57. This legislation was around last year. It is about supporting school choice and doing away with the charter school penalty. The existing school funding law results in charter schools that enroll fewer than 150 students receiving basically 30 to 45% less state funding than neighborhood schools of their same size. This difference is due, and I hope you have before you, you should have these two sheets, these two charts anyhow, that are most helpful in.
Yes, they're in our packets. The second,
okay, third, eighth. I thought they were, but they're most helpful in helping work your way through this and understand what is somewhat a complex formula. There's this dramatic decrease in funding, somewhere between $500,000 and $700,000 lost when a charter school's enrollment drops from below 150 students. Just that single drop from 150 to 149 creates this crisis. And as I'm sure you're all aware, you've been through the education committee's talked about these things in the past, and this has been an issue before. That count period that takes place is the majority of the month of October. And even if somebody surpasses, as did Effie Cochrane, the 150 count, it's still an average that is taken through that period of time. So you may have, at the end of the count, in excess of 150 students, but you still use the average, so you're below. And that of course, is also reflected in the potential in the fiscal note, which we'll get to next. The root of the problem is that the way the foundation formula calculates the adjusted student count for starters, charter schools versus neighborhood schools. Almost all have their enrollment adjusted upward by a formula in the state education, all regular schools. Charter schools below 150 are a different formula, not using the base as is indicated on this chart, and using the 0.84 multiplier. The second page of the chart is helpful in explaining that difference more clearly than you can do it verbally. The BSA is not really the amount we fund districts to educate kids. The true funding per student is much higher due to the enrollment adjustment, except at charter schools that have, as I said, less than 150 students. Charter schools with enrollment of fewer than 150 students do not have their enrollment adjusted upward like other schools. Instead, their enrollment is adjusted downward. This provides too little money for these schools to survive, and that's indicated on the chart showing on the far right, at least down to the 150 mark, how charter schools are treated in regards to neighborhood schools that the column just to the left. SB 57 funds charter schools with fewer than 150 students at the same per student rate as a neighborhood school with 400 students, using that as a constant. This requires charter schools to be significantly more efficient than other schools, but it is a manageable funding level. SB 57 also contains a one-year hold harmless provision for charter schools that are either in their first year of operation or had more than 150 students 1 year, and then the previous or the following year they drop below that number. This provision reduces the financial harm to their districts from the unexpected decrease in their student count adjustment. Senate Bill 57 is supported by the Alaska Association of School Boards, and all superintendents have testified in support. The bill has been co-sponsored by Senators Stevens, Elton, and Davis. In addition, Senators Olson and Huggins voted do pass in the Senate Education Committee, just for your information. And with that, I would answer any questions that you may have regarding the bill, or I will have my staff member answer the questions. And Eddie Jeans is also here from the department to answer maybe the more specifics on the fiscal note.
Yeah, we'll bring him up here in a minute, but Senator Thomas, the multiplier, 1.18, maybe yes. Spin us up on why 1.18 was selected and not, you know, a 1.17 or 1.19 or...
It we had a consideration last year, or discussions, but from a range of 1.07 to 1.09 to 1.27?
1.08 to 1.27.
Okay. 1.08 to 1.27. And this is simply a compromise hitting right basically in the middle of that number, which seemed to be acceptable to most people because it was a positive, obviously, for schools under 150.
Okay.
Not a lot of science to it. It's just more the country.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Thomas, I think it probably would be interesting to the committee the number of charter schools that really, you know, are under this syndrome. As I recall, there's four or five of them.
That's correct. I think there are exactly...
And I guess just a continuation of that, also to describe that some of the charter schools, based on the circumstances of where they are and the local neighborhood schools, they're not going to get bigger than 150. I mean, there are some agreements, there are some boundaries. Homer comes to mind. Nome has some challenges as well. But in any event, it's kind of outside their control, and it's a draconian measure, but I'll let you describe that.
Senator Huggins, through the chair. No, that's exactly right. They're pretty much around the number that they are. That's not expected to change dramatically. It changes a little bit year to year, up and down. There are, actually answering your first question, there are four in state that are at this borderline issue problem, so that is not expected to change either. So we feel we'll be relatively stable as it is.
Senator Elton.
Thank you, and the comments of the Senator Huggins prompted me to want to say something. This is an issue that has been solved on an annual basis in the past, and the funding issue has been solved because of the efforts of Senator Huggins and his capacity as chair of the Senate Finance Committee's subcommittee on education, and so this bill gets us to the point where it is just part of the formula and can be rolled in. And I just wanted to express my appreciation to Senator Huggins for his help in the past.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, we'll have Senator Thomas stand by. We'll have the department, Mr. Eddie Jean, come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And we have a few people on the off-net.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eddie Jeans. I'm the Director of School Finance for the Department of Education and Early Development. Mr. Chairman, this particular piece of legislation would affect it appears to be four charter schools in the state right now. The question was raised, how did the number 1.18 How was that arrived? It was simply arrived by taking, if you had a school of 400 students, ran it through the formula, and then divided it back by the adjusted ADM, the factor comes out to 1.18. So basically, you're providing the funding for a school that would have a student population of 400. Mr. Chairman, we did prepare a fiscal note. The fiscal note is $714,300, and this would fix the problem that we've had with charter schools right around the 150 if they fall below that. As Senator Thomas mentioned, there's quite a substantial decrease in state revenue, somewhere around the $500,000 mark. So this would provide those schools with a stable funding that they can budget for, plan for, and not fall off that cliff.
Could you please maybe list the four schools for the people at home that aren't as familiar with this issue as members?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I have Effie Cochran School.
And the location, roughly?
In Fairbanks. Okay. We have the Juneau Community Charter School in Juneau. Fireweed Academy, which is in Homer on the Kenai. And then Anvil City Science Academy, which is the charter school in Nome. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Do we have any questions for Mr. Jeans? The position of the department?
Mr. Chairman, we're neutral on this. From your finance director's point of view, it makes good sense.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think it's probably important for the committee to understand the terms that some people described the syndrome of being under 150, and Senator Thomas said it about perfectly, that it costs you hundreds of thousands of dollars to lose one student from 150 to 149. And I remember there were some committee members, and in addition, sort of unilaterally and separately, Superintendent Como used the term draconian, because that's what it is. I mean, it is a tremendous draconian measure that's on the backs of parents and kids for one student. And this is a very prudent approach to it. And I'm glad, as Senator Elton said earlier, that we're now looking at a systemic fix for it, because it's not fair, and it's a step in the right direction of doing something that makes sense rather than having a draconian measure.
Any other questions before we go to the off-net? And we'll go to the off-net. Please go ahead and identify yourself and who you represent, and then speak to Senate Bill 57. We'll start with Samuel Shields, please.
Hello. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the community, for giving a chance to testify.
Could you identify yourself, please?
I am Samuel Shields. I'm with the Yapalik-Novik Yupik Immersion School. I've been a board member there for 14 years now. And I'm also the vice chair of the Bethel Schools, on the school board of the Bethel Schools. And I'd like to thank you all for giving me a chance to talk in support of this bill. Personally, we know at Yapalik-Novik the effect of falling below 150 students. This happened before, just once in our term. I think we went down to 149, and it was a substantial decrease in funding for us. And because I'm on the regular Bethel board, I saw the decrease in the funding and the effect it had on the school. We was able to bounce back. Our enrollment stays about 180 or more. However, we have approximately 6,000 people here. And again, I just want to lend my support to this Senate Bill 57, because unless you went through it there, it's a nightmare. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. We'll go to Mike Fisher, if you can identify yourself and who you represent, and then please speak to Senate Bill 57.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Good morning. My name is Mike Fisher, Chief Financial Officer for the Fairbanks School District. I will be brief, but I wanted to once again state for the record that Fairbanks North Star Borough School District supports Senate Bill 57. We are keenly aware of how it might help charter schools provide important educational choices for families. We currently have 3 charter schools and 1 new coming online next year. 2 of our charter schools and our new charter school have target enrollments at about 155 students, so flirting with the 150 funding threshold is not uncommon. This year, one of our charter schools just missed the 150 student average daily membership threshold during the count period, even though they had over 150 students by the end of the count. That cost the charter school, or the district really, about $680,000 out of their expected $1.4 million budget, all because of a small timing difference related to student enrollments. While we expect all our charter schools to be larger than 150 students next year, this bill helps address the catastrophic impact should a school fail to meet the 150 threshold, even if by the thinnest of margins. It's a fair compromise for funding existing charter schools. We also expect our new charter school to exceed 150 students next year, but this bill also provides a fair funding compromise should their startup enrollments fall just a little short. It would be difficult for them to offer the curriculum as originally envisioned, but it would not be impossible, as currently the case. It provides a great incentive for schools to get to their target enrollments. So in summary, this bill is a very fair compromise on charter school funding for both existing charter schools and for our new charter schools, especially if we're serious about trying to offer schools a choice. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Janet Stokeberry, please. If you can identify yourself and who you represent and speak to the bill, please.
My name is Janet Stokesberry. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Anchorage School District. Carol Colma, our superintendent, was unable to testify today due to a prior commitment, but I want to share that our school board and administration are very supportive of charter schools and our schools of choice. We see this legislation as helping small charter schools and ensuring stability for charter schools in Anchorage as well as around the state. We support the benefit that the bill provides for charter schools of fewer than 150 students and the one-year hold harmless period for charter schools who do not meet the 151 student enrollment during the count period after having had more than 150 students in the previous year of operation. We see this as a very important piece of legislation and support Senate Bill 57.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shanna Mall, please, if you can identify yourself and who you represent and speak to Senate Bill 57.
Hi, my name is Shanna Mall, and I am the principal at Winterberry Charter School. And thank you for taking time to hear testimony on this bill. My heart is really beating right now because I was one of those survivors of a school that whose budget was cut by $700,000. And I just want to encourage you to support the bill. That year was, it was a crazy year. You know, we had people working 90 hours a week without pay, a building owner who took a chance on us and retrofitted his building, taking $700,000 out of his own money with a good chance that we wouldn't, in fact, become a school. Because of that, we had 2-week delays. We had to be in a church. We had some more time in a church. We finally entered our building on October 18th. We ended up with 144 children during the count and had to cut all of our office staff, 2.5 teachers, 2 TAs. We still had 144 children to educate. And even though we lost, you know, we had $700,000 cut, that only made up part of that deficit, and we carried over almost $180,000 the next year in deficit that we had to begin the year off in a hole. So we weren't able to staff fully staff the second year. And there were many compromises. There were compromises to our program. There were compromises to the children's safety. Luckily for us, nothing happened. We had a lot of parents who came and gave more than I've ever seen parents give before. There was tremendous sacrifices in our staff morale and the time that they had with their own families and being healthy to come to the children in a healthy way. And then all of that time we were trying to build a program for the following year. And I just feel like it's an impossible task under the current legislation. And I just would really encourage you to support this.
Okay.
Bill, hey. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your testimony. We'll now come in-house to Brenda Taylor. Ms. Taylor, if you could identify yourself and who you represent. I know you've been here before, so you know the routine.
Right.
And then go ahead and speak to the
My name's Brenda Taylor, and I'm a parent at the Juneau Community Charter School right down the street, and I'm also the president of the APC. And I wanted to speak partly as someone who's been here, as you said, before, and I've been working to find a legislative solution to the problems of this, to this problem for several years, and I wanted to say that I'm very excited and confident that I think that this bill really solves the various concerns of all the different interested parties in terms of the legislators and their concern that there not be an incentive for super small schools to open up and be expensive, for school districts, for charter schools, and most importantly, for Alaska students and their families. I also specifically want to speak as a representative of one of those small schools that will never get big because of our relationship with our school district. Our school district very much supports this bill and supports us as an institution, but doesn't want us to be over 150 or we would have a negative impact on our neighborhood schools. And the second piece that I wanted to point out is that because we have so little money, A, we likely will not survive without additional funds, but B, we aren't able to provide busing and some other opportunities to make our school more accessible to more different families in Juneau. And so we have a diversity issue that we'd really like to be able to address because we think that charter schools really should be available to all families. And we think that this bill would help to address that. So it's an equity issue as well. And I want to thank you very much for hearing this bill and thank you for your support.
Okay, thank you. And before we come back for some final questions to the bill sponsor, I'd just like to, for everybody to take note, up in Homer, Alaska Charter School Association and Fireweed Academy has roughly 15 students that have been listening, represented by Kiki Abrahamson. And I just like to thank the students for taking the time to listen to the process today and learn a little bit about the state government and how statutes work and how school funding is implemented and discussed. So I appreciate the interest that the students have in their government. Senator Thomas, you have any closing comments before we set this bill aside?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, nothing new to add, just I appreciate your interest and urge support of the bill.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Thanks again.
Let me back up for a minute. I missed that. I thought that the students and representative from Homer were just online to listen, but they have a few things they'd like to say. So we'll go to Homer. Abrahamson, please, Kiki, if you could identify yourself for the record and who you represent, and then speak to Senate Bill 57.
Thank you, Chairman Stedman. For the record, my name is Kiki Abrahamson. I am a teacher at Fireweed Academy in Homer, and I'm also the president of the Alaska Charter School Association. I appreciate you recognizing the effort that my students have made. There were great smiles when you acknowledged their presence here, and they would like to offer to the whole Senate Finance Committee a standing ovation. Okay, thanks guys. The one thing that I want to mention that I don't think has been covered yet is that as the president of the Alaska Charter School Association, I'm really worried about the public perception of Senate Bill 57, especially in these challenged economic times. And I think the important message that I'd like the legislators and the public to know is that this isn't so much a request for add-on funding. It's a request to fix a statute that has handicapped the development of innovative public charter schools in Alaska and has discriminated against schools of choice in small and rural communities. In 1992, the first charter school opened in St. Paul, Minnesota, and 16 years later, there's over 4,500 schools serving 1.3 million students in 40 states. We've had charter school legislation since 1995, and here we are 12, 13 years later, and the highest number of charter schools we've ever had in the state is 24. I think a lot of this is because the existing statute has inhibited the development of innovative schools of choice. And so I really, really appreciate all the work that you're doing in passing this bill through the Finance Committee and onto the floor so that we can support innovative schools of choice in Alaska. And thanks very much.
Okay, thanks for your testimony. And I've been handed one more citizen from Nome, so we'll go ahead and take that additional testimony. Todd Heineman, please, if you can identify yourself and who you represent and then speak to Senate Bill 57, please.
Yes, my name is Todd Heineman. I'm lead teacher at Anvil City Science Academy, and I'm here with Rick Luthy, superintendent of Nome Public Schools, and Dana Handlin, a member of the Academic Policy Committee. I'm speaking in support of SB 57 on behalf of the Academic Policy Committee of Anvil City Science Academy and the Nome Public School Board of Education. In a small community such as Nome, a charter school with a large student population could have an adverse effect on the other public schools. The small size of ACSA is one of its strengths. It allows for flexibility in its daily operation to provide unique educational opportunities to its students. This allows students to easily get out into the local community and environment to use it as a resource in their education, providing a more meaningful learning experience. Our small size also creates a culture around family values to ensure student success. At last, would like to thank you for your work and effort at providing support for small charter schools and putting Alaska children first.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Now back to Senator Thomas. If you have any closing comments, Senator Thomas?
No, that's good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. We'll go ahead and set this bill aside for now.
Mr. Chairman, yep.
Senator Huggins.
Yep, I might. Just a note. So a lot of times, I mean, you heard people talk about we lost 700,000, so we lose staff and things of that nature. But you really have to put that into context, because I'll speak for Matt Sue. School starts in August. By the time count's over with, you're over 2 months into the school year. So literally, you end up shuffling classes on the campus or other campuses because of the teachers having to move to other locations. So it's not just a simple matter of money. It affects the ripple effect through the school district, and the school is dramatic. And just because of one person, that's my first point. The second point, there's one other category of schools that falls into the same syndrome, and it's alternative schools. And next time we bring the bill, I'd like to open the discussion up to that, because it's instead of 150, it's 200 students, but it's the same syndrome, same draconian measures. But thank you very much.
And I think with that's the amendment that I referred to earlier that's circulating, and I'll have you work with the bill sponsor between now and then and the other members of the committee, and so we can get that figured out before the bill comes back. Okay. The next meeting scheduled for Monday, March 2nd, 9 a.m. We're going to have, we were initially going to have up an overview by the administration on the stimulus package, but they're still sorting through some final details. So we're going to bring up the DOT portion of it, Senate Bill 123, Supplemental Capital Appropriations on the Economic Stimulus, and Senate Bill 124, Authorized Economic Stimulus Participation. And then we will not have any meetings the rest of that week. When we reconvene the following week after Energy Council, the administration will be before us on their overview of the economic stimulus, and we'll start that process depending on how they would like to lay out their presentation and present the discussion to the Finance Committee. So we'll see everybody back here Monday, 9 a.m., to start the economic stimulus. Thank you.